Thank you, Father. We give you all the glory. We give you all the honor. We give you all adoration. We say thank you, Father. 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 We bless your holy name. We thank you because you are the one working through us, both to will and to do of your own good pleasure. We thank you for the abundance of grace. We thank you for the gift of righteousness. We say, be thou exalted in the name of Jesus. We say, thank you, Father. We thank you because tonight again, you reveal deep things to us in the name of Jesus. We thank you, Father, because even tonight, you will speak to us in your word in the name of Jesus. Thank you, Father. We say, hallowed be thy name. For in Jesus' mighty name, we have prayed. Amen. Praise the Lord. Now, last week, Thursday, we started the discussion on the dimensions of grace. We started a very important series by the grace of God, which we are going to finish today on the dimensions of grace. Now, one of the things that we've said last week is that grace is the immeasurable provision of God to meet any need that the reconciled man has. Grace is the provision of God to meet any need that man generally has. It is God's provision. And we've said this before, that the grace of God is experienced as Christ is known in the life of both a believer and an unbeliever. So the introduction of Christ, I'm doing a quick recap of the previous, of the previous series. The introduction of Christ to the life of a believer, okay, is the introduction of grace to the life of the believer. But the unveiling of grace, the operation of grace, the manifestation of grace is dependent upon the continual revelation of Christ to the believer now. So, the revelation of Christ that you have would determine the amount of grace that would operate in your life. This is important for us to emphasize, and we cannot overemphasize it, that the level to which you understand who Christ is, the level to which you know Jesus, is the level to which grace will be manifested in your life. Now, I've said there are dimensions of grace, because I've said that grace is multidimensional. So if grace is God's provision to meet any need that men may have, we have to group, the manifestation of grace into different levels. Now, I've told us this before, that mercy used to be a manifestation of God's grace to a people that were dead. Hallelujah. To a people that were dead, that it would love to relate with, and there was no Messiah for them. But from the day that the Lord Jesus died, God's mercy has been revealed through the Lord Jesus that is full of grace. So it is important for us to understand this, that Jesus, it pleases God that all things be done through Jesus. In fact, the Bible says that all things are for him. All things were made through him, and they are for him. Hallelujah. So the first dimension of grace that is common, there's this definition of grace that we know, that grace is known as unmerited favor. You know, grace is referred to as unmerited favor. I like to say this a lot, that there is nothing unmerited about grace. There is nothing unmerited about grace. In fact, there is only one dimension of unmerited favor. And if you look at it from an angle, you would discover that it is not entirely unmerited. Someone paid for it. So the dimension of grace that is closest to the term unmerited favor is the saving grace. I need somebody to note this down for us. The first dimension of grace that can even qualify as unmerited favor is the saving grace. Now, Romans chapter 3 and verse 23. Romans chapter 3. And verse 23. We must understand in Romans chapter 1 first. Okay, let's read Romans 1:16 first. Apostle Paul said, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ because it is God's power to salvation to everyone that believes it. So the revelation of God's power to salvation. Now, notice the Bible says salvation. The Bible doesn't say the salvation of the spirit or the salvation of the soul. The Bible says salvation. So the power of God to salvation is the gospel of Christ. Now we must understand that there is the salvation of the spirit and there is the salvation of the soul. Hallelujah. The two different terms entirely. That's not what we're talking about tonight. But we're saying that the gospel of our Lord Jesus carries the power for salvation. Hallelujah. And it is the Lord Jesus that, you know, that is full of grace, that came to die for us. Now Romans chapter 3 and verse 23, the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Verse 24, being justified freely by his grace. Now, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God, but we have become freely justified by his grace. Now, so it is God's grace through Christ Jesus that justifies us. So this is a dimension of the grace of God. Hallelujah. So the justification that is in Christ Jesus, the justification that comes through Christ Jesus, and the accompanying peace between God and us that comes along with it is a manifestation of the grace of God. The Bible says being justified freely by his grace through the redemption that is in Christ Jesus. Hallelujah. So, the saving grace of God is a dimension. In Romans 5:1, it says, therefore, having been justified by faith. Hallelujah. Faith in what? Faith in Christ Jesus. Having been justified by faith in Christ Jesus, we have peace with God. So the justification and the peace that you experience, that is peace between you and God, that you experience as a result of listening to the gospel and receiving the Lord Jesus as your personal Lord and Savior, is a manifestation of grace. It's important that we understand this. And this is the first dimension of grace. This dimension of grace is available to every man. Hallelujah. This is the beginning of the experience of grace in the life of man. that you're justified, that you become a son of God, that you become a carrier of the life of God, that there is peace between you and God. All of this comes down to the fact that you became born again. So this is the grace that was unmerited. Hallelujah. Now, the language unmerited means that you do not deserve it. The language unmerited means that it is not deserved. So, that grace to become a child of God, to become a son of God, is not deserved. But someone paid a price. And that price makes you qualified to receive that grace. So even the amazing saving grace cannot be entirely called unmerited favor, because someone paid for it. Someone made you qualify for it. In fact, the Bible says in Colossians chapter 1, verse 12, it says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. So Jesus qualified us to receive this grace. And the receipt of this grace, are we together now, qualifies us for the receipt of many other dimensions of grace. So that's the first one, the saving grace. Now, the second dimension of grace, remember, we have said that grace is the immeasurable provision of God to meet any need that men may have. So men were dead. They needed to be alive. Hallelujah. And so God created a provision for men to be alive through Christ Jesus. And this is what the Bible says in John chapter 1, verse 14, that Jesus was full of grace. Jesus was full of grace and he was full of fruit. Now we know that truth sets men free. We know that truth, when men are exposed to truth with understanding, it sets them free. But what does grace do? Hallelujah. Grace makes provisions available. God's provisions available. Hallelujah. So the second dimension of grace that is not really considered as grace is the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. John chapter 14. Let's do that something. John chapter 14 and verse 16. This is the second dimension of grace. Now, you realize why this is second and not first. John 14, 16. It says, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Now, 17 says, even the Spirit of truth. Listen to this. Jesus called the Holy Spirit the Spirit of truth, okay, whom the world cannot receive. So the world cannot receive the Spirit of truth because they can't see him. They don't know him. But the Bible says, Jesus said himself, that you know him because he dwells with you and then he shall be in you. So it is the receipt of the amazing saving grace that qualifies you to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, many people do not realize that the Holy Spirit is a gift. Yes, I do understand, and we do know that the Holy Spirit is the Spirit of the living God, a distinct personality with his own will, mind, and emotions. Hallelujah. A distinct personality in the Godhead with his own will, mind, and emotions. The Holy Spirit is as much as a being, as much as you are a being. But the Lord Jesus said, I will send him to you. He is a gift. Hallelujah. I will send him to you to be your comforter. So, hallelujah, I will send him to you to be your comforter. So the indwelling, or say the infilling of the Holy Spirit, is a dimension of grace. Now you are beginning to see that grace is not just some sort of a merited favor. It is the unmeasurable provision of God. So now the Lord Jesus knew that the disciples, us, would need help. In John chapter 16 verse 14, he said, "He shall glorify me, for he shall receive of mine, and shall show it to you." Hallelujah. So the Lord Jesus made it clear. Very clear. In fact, in Luke chapter 11, talking about the Holy Spirit, he told the disciples that if you ask for the Holy Spirit, that my Father that is in heaven will give unto you the Holy Spirit. So the Spirit of the living God, the Lord Jesus called in Luke chapter 11, I think verse 13, the Lord Jesus called the Holy Spirit a gift. He says, if you, being evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more your heavenly Father shall give the Holy Spirit to them that ask him. Hallelujah. So now we understand the scripture in Romans chapter 8 verse 32, that he that spared not his own son, but freely gave him up for us all. The Bible says, how shall he not along with him also give us all things? He didn't spare his son, but he gave up his son for us all. And the Bible now says, how shall he not along with the son freely give us all things? So the receipt of the son, hallelujah, when you receive the son, hallelujah, you become qualified to receive all other things along with the son. Hallelujah. In Acts 1 verse 8, Jesus told the disciples, he says, but you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Why did they have to receive the Holy Ghost? Because they needed power. Hallelujah. Acts chapter 10 and verse 38. How God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power. And he went about doing good. You received the same Jesus of Nazareth. You were recreated to be, you know, a manifestation of the same Jesus of Nazareth. If Jesus of Nazareth needed the Holy Ghost and power before he could manifest on earth, surely you do need the infilling of the Holy Ghost and power. It is a manifestation of the grace of God. Or shall I say it this way? He is a manifestation of the grace of God. Even though he's our teacher tonight, he is a manifestation of the grace of God. In fact, the word used power in Acts 1 verse 8, okay, the original language, the Greek word is dunamis. And dunamis is better translated as ability, not power. So in essence, Jesus was saying, but you shall receive the ability to witness me. You shall receive the ability to live like me. You shall receive the ability to be like me when the Holy Ghost comes upon you. So if you are yet to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, you are missing out on a very important gift of God. And all you have to do to receive the infilling of the Holy Spirit is to ask that you may receive, according to Luke chapter 11, from verse 9 to 13. You can read the scripture Believe the word that the Lord Jesus said himself and ask that you may receive the Holy Spirit. And if you ask in faith according to God's word, you would receive in that instant. It can be that easy. Because it's about receiving. It's no longer about God's giving. You must understand that God made his grace available. You see, this is key for us to understand. He has given us everything along with his son. So it means that everything that has to do with God giving has been completed. Everything that has to do with God releasing to you has been completed through Christ Jesus. So the revelation of Christ Jesus to you is the revelation of the grace to you. Are we together now? So many men do not understand this. And dude, sometimes we try to, you know, move away from the grace of God because we don't understand it and try to look onto our own righteousness. And when we see that our righteousness is so poor, we begin to crave God's mercy and say, Father, we crave your mercy. Have mercy upon us. It is wrong. Hallelujah. So we've said that the first dimension of grace is the amazing saving grace. Hallelujah. The second dimension of grace is the gift of the Holy Spirit. Now, the third dimension of grace are the abilities of God embedded in believers and revealed by the Spirit. Let me repeat. The abilities of God that are embedded in the believers and are revealed by His Spirit. The abilities of God. 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 4. It says, whereby have been given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these promises we might become partakers of the divine nature. By the promises, we might become partakers of the divine nature. Hallelujah. 1 Peter 1:23. It says, being born again, not of corruptible seed, but by the seed that is incorruptible, the word of God. Perhaps you should read 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. Let's read the scripture. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 13. So that you can understand what we're saying. That when you receive the Lord Jesus, you received a new spirit, a recreated spirit that is born of the word of God. And we know, according to John chapter 1 and verse 1, that the word of God is God. So if the word of God is God and you are born of the word of God, it means that you are born of God. And so if you are born of God, it means that you carry the DNA of God. You carry the unique qualifying traits of God. And we call this the divine nature. 1 John 5:13. Hear this. It says, these things have I written to you? Okay, let's start from verse 11. 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11. It says, and this is the record that God has given to us eternal life. Somebody say, God has given unto me eternal life. And this life is in his son. You see, that this is why the Bible said that Jesus is full of grace and truth. Because the life is in him. God has given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his son. Verse 12, he that has the son has life, and he that has not the son of God has not life. Verse 13, it says, these things have I written to you that believe on the name of the son of God, that you may know that you have eternal life, and that you may believe on the name of the son of God. So it says, I wrote these things to you. I write these things to you, that you may know that you have eternal life. So if you have the life of God, that is, you have eternal life, it means you have the nature of God. And so if you have the nature of God, it means you have the abilities of God. So the abilities of God that are embedded in you as a believer
and revealed by his spirit. Are we together now? Is a manifestation of the grace of God. So I think of these abilities as, think of them as the fruits of the Spirit and the gift of the Holy Spirit. Galatians chapter 2 and verse 20. Quickly, Galatians 2 and 20. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. Now look at this. Verse 21. It says, I do not frustrate the grace of God. I do not frustrate the grace of God. For if righteousness comes by the law, then Christ is dead in vain. So it is the grace of God that I do not have to live by the law. It is the grace of God that I am above the law. So the righteousness that is in Christ Jesus is the grace of God. Hallelujah. Galatians 5:22. Let's start from verse 22. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness. Against such there is no law. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance, and against this there is no law. Remember, Galatians 2:21, I do not frustrate the grace of God. How? By not living by the law. So if I fail to manifest the fruits of the Spirit, are we together now? Or if I have the fruits of the Spirit in me, and I am refusing to manifest this fruit, are we together now? And I'm trying to now live a holy life on my own holy terms, by my own righteousness, or by the righteousness of the law. What I'm doing is that I'm frustrating the grace of God. So the fruit of the Spirit, listen to this. The fruit of the Spirit is not the fruit of the Holy Spirit. This is the fruit of your spirit. They are the nature of your spirit. Every single fruit here is the nature of God. Love. The Bible says love. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God. Joy. Peace. No, the Bible calls Jesus the Prince of Peace. Long-suffering. The Bible says that the Lord is long-suffering, that is not willing for any man to perish, and he wishes that all men comes to repentance. Gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Every single one of them is a nature of God. So because it is the nature of God, and you are a son of God, it is your nature. This is the grace of God manifesting in your life. So I am telling you those things that you do not have to sweat to manifest the fruit of the Spirit. They are a part of you. You just have to understand that the fruit of the Spirit are a part of you. They can come naturally to you the way eating would come naturally to you. But they have to be revealed to you by the Spirit of God. That is to say, you have to first know about it or hear about it as you're hearing now. So the fruit of the Spirit, the ability of God, I mean, the nature of God that is in your spirit, as well as the gifts of the Spirit. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Every gift, listen to this now, every gift of the Spirit and every gift that God gives to man is a manifestation of his grace. Let me repeat. Any gift that a man receives from God, right from the time that the Lord Jesus died, I mean right from the time that the Lord Jesus resurrected now, every gift that man receives from God, everything that man receives from God is as a result of his grace. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one cometh to the Father except through me. So it means that no one can receive anything of the Father except through me. And if John chapter 1 verse 14 is anything to go by, Jesus said, the Bible says that Jesus is full of grace and truth. And if Romans 8:32 is to be believed, that it is the receipt of Jesus that qualifies one to receive every other thing, that through Jesus you receive every other thing. Hallelujah. And if Jesus is full of grace and truth, then all things come through grace. Now, if the Bible now says that you have received the abundance of grace, you must begin to understand what the Bible is saying, that there are a lot of things that has been made available for you. Listen to this. There are a lot of things that has been made available for you. First Corinthians chapter 12. We're not going to read the entire chapter. You'll find the fruits of the Spirit, I mean, the gifts of the Holy Spirit there. The abilities of the Holy Spirit. But the best way we could call them are the gifts of the Holy Spirit. The manifestations of the Holy Spirit in you. Each of them given to specific individuals as the Spirit of God wills. Why? That they may operate therein. Hallelujah. That they may bring together and raise a church that glorifies God. Romans 12, 6. So that we can see what I'm saying. Romans chapter 12, verse 6. Quickly. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6, quickly. Romans chapter 12 and verse 6. Romans 12 and verse 6. Now listen to this. Bible says, having then gifts. Now let's start from verse 5 or verse 4. It says, for as we have many members in our one body, as we have many members in one body, and all members have not the same office. So we being many are one body in Christ, and everyone members one of another. Okay? Having then gifts differing according to the grace that is given to us. We have gifts that differs according to what? To the grace. So the gifts are a manifestation of the grace that is given to us. It says, whether prophecy, let us prophesy according to the proportion of faith. Or ministry, let us wait on our ministry. Or he that teaches, on teaching. Or he that exalts, on exhortation. He that gives, let him do it with simplicity. He that rules, with diligence. He that shows mercy, with cheerfulness. So, the differing gifts we receive from God are a manifestation of grace. So when you say the grace of God is sufficient, when the Bible says that God is able to make all grace abound towards you, it means that God is able to make all provisions, all gifts, everything that you need abound towards you, that you have sufficiency in all things at all times. Hallelujah. So we must begin to understand what grace is. The abilities of God, whether they be the fruits of the Spirit, whether they be the gifts of the Holy Spirit, or whether they be specific gifts, whether they be callings. Let me say this now. That for every man that there is a call upon his life, for every man that there is a call upon his life, there is a grace to fulfill that call on him. Hallelujah. For every man that the call of God is upon his life, there is a grace to fulfill that call. So you must understand this, that if God is asking you to go ahead and do something, hallelujah, he will not expect you to fund it. Neither will he expect you to use your ideas. Neither will he expect you to do it by yourself. Hallelujah. So this is something we must understand. So if there are any instructions for you, whether they be general in nature or they be specific in nature, you must understand that you have received this, you know, the requisite grace to carry out that instruction. So it is not grace that you lack. Most times, what we lack is a revelation of the things that are available to us by the Spirit. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Let's read quickly. Because there is something we must understand. The revelation of what has been released to us by the Spirit is very important. Because without this revelation, we might not be able to encapsulate the grace that is available. The Bible says in Romans chapter 5 and 17, how much more they that have received the abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness, the Bible says they shall reign in life. So if they are not reigning in life, it means that they are not aware that they have received the abundance of grace. They are not aware that they have received the gift of righteousness. The Bible says, 1 Corinthians 2 verse 9, the Bible says, as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear heard, neither have it entered into the spirit of man the things which God has prepared for them that love him. So God has prepared a lot of things. He has prepared. It's not he's going to prepare. Not he shall prepare. Not he will prepare. Not he will prepare when you pray. Not he will make ready when you fast. Not he will pray. I mean, he will release when you pray. Or not when he will release when you do certain things. That God has prepared. Now the Bible now says that these things, 10. It now says, God reveals the things that he has prepared to us by his Spirit. And this is why we say the abilities of God revealed by his Spirit is important. So we receive the Holy Spirit that we may receive the revelations of God and many other things that we have received along with Christ Jesus, so that we may know these things. God has revealed them to us by his Spirit. For the Spirit searcheth all things. Yes, the deep things of God. 11. For what man knows the things of a man, save the spirit of man which is in him? He says, likewise, the Spirit of God knows no man but the Spirit of God. Now listen to this, the verse 12. The Bible says, now we have received the spirit of the world. I mean, now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is of God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. Hallelujah. So if the Bible says that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God, why do we still sometimes think that we have to go through God's mercy to get anything from him? Hallelujah. Somebody must have lied to us. If God is ready to reveal to us, we receive his Spirit that we might know the things that are freely given to us. Why do we have to go through his mercy to receive anything again, if indeed he has prepared them? He says that we might know the things that have been freely given to us. The things also we speak, not in the words which man's wisdom teaches, but which the Holy Ghost teaches, comparing spiritual things with spiritual. If you read the Passion Translation, I love that Passion. I know that translation. It says that we articulate these realities by bringing together Spirit-revealed words and Spirit-revealed truths. In other words, that we experience the realities, we experience the grace of God, we experience the things that have been freely given to us when we combine our faith with God's word. Hallelujah. The ability, this is the third dimension of grace. The abilities of God that are in your spirit. The abilities of God through the Holy Spirit manifesting in your life. That is the grace of God in your life. Now, the last dimension of grace, I've talked about it briefly, is the provisions of God revealed by His Spirit. Now, there's a difference between the abilities of God embedded in us and the provisions of God. There's a big difference. Hallelujah. To understand this, let's read 2 Peter chapter 1 and verse 3. It says, 2 Peter 1, 3, please. It says, according as His divine power, listen to this, according as His divine power has given unto us, has given unto us, that is, His divine power has provided for us all things that is required for living and godliness. So it means that godliness is an ability that we have. And we have the receipt of all things that are required to manifest this ability. Hallelujah. Let's say, for example, that you want to run a race. Now, to run a race, you will need sufficient energy. Now, you are able to run the race well. That's your ability. But the energy you need to run the race is a provision that comes as a result of the food you eat. So God is not a man. I mean, God is not the kind of personality that gives unto men ability without giving them provisions. The provisions of God revealed through His Spirit. I mean, revealed by His Spirit are part of the grace of God. And this is why the Bible says in 2 Peter chapter 1 verse 2 that grace and peace can be multiplied. Hallelujah. Grace can be multiplied out through the knowledge of God and of our Lord Jesus. Why are these two important? Because the knowledge of God, hallelujah, the knowledge of God will give unto you an understanding of the capacities of God. Will give to you an understanding of the will of God. Will give unto you an understanding of how God would prefer things to be done. Now, the knowledge of Jesus Christ will give you an understanding of the knowledge of who you are. When you combine these two, you become able to manifest great things. So the knowledge of God is very different from the knowledge of Christ. Hallelujah. To know Christ is to know yourself. But to know God is to know what you are required to do and capable of doing. Hallelujah. So if the Bible says that grace can be multiplied, our emphasis should be on how to multiply grace through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. Unfortunately, the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord is the last thing we are paying attention to today. We would rather come to our churches to dance, to praise God, and then to say a few words of prayer. And then when it's time for the word, we spend 20, 15 minutes on the thing, on the subject that has the capacity to turn your life around. We spend 15, 20 minutes on the main item of the day, and we go home. Expecting some sort of miracle. It does not work like that. Grace and peace is multiplied through the knowledge of God and of Jesus our Lord. As long as you are not aware of who Jesus is, you can't be aware of the grace and the provisions and the gifts and the abilities that came along with Him. Hallelujah. And as long as you do not know who God is, you cannot know who you are. You cannot know what is required of you. You cannot know what you're capable of doing. So the knowledge of these two makes available, I mean, open your eyes to see the possibilities that are available for you. And you begin to move like a mystery. Hallelujah. You begin to live like a man that is reigning on the earth. So Romans 5:17 is only true, hallelujah, when you are able to put 2 Peter 1:2 to work. Finally, 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 30. 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 30. Let's read. It says, but of him are you in Christ Jesus. Listen to this. But of him are you in Christ Jesus, who of God is made unto us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. So the provisions of God are part of grace. So when we begin to talk about provisions of God, you'll be shocked. Wisdom is part of grace. Understanding, spiritual understanding to be precise, is part of grace. The seven spirits of God, that is the seven expressions of the Holy Spirit in your life, are part of grace. In fact, grace is everything that the debt, let me say it this way, grace is everything that the debt, resurrection, and enthronement of Jesus made available for you. So if I were to define grace in a single statement, it is everything, and when I say everything, I mean everything, that the death, resurrection, and the exaltation of Christ Jesus made possible for you. Everything is called grace. So as a believer in Christ, you need to be aware of everything to experience everything. Can somebody say, I have abundance of grace tonight? Can somebody say, I have abundance of grace again tonight? Can somebody say, I am not a worm? Can somebody say, I am not a mere sand? Can somebody say, I am a son of the living God? I have the spirit of the living God in me. I am limitless. I can't be broken. I cannot fail. I cannot live in lack. I am prosperous. I am redeemed. I am delivered from the power of darkness. I am reigning as a king in life because I have received the abundance of grace. Can somebody say, the grace of the Lord Jesus is available for me? An understanding of the grace of our Lord Jesus will turn a man to a mystery. Hallelujah. Are we ready to begin to manifest the grace of God tonight? Because I believe by now, your eyes must begin to open to some manifestation of the grace of God in your life. Are you ready? Can you go ahead and pray in the Spirit now? Go ahead, go ahead, go ahead and pray in the Spirit now. Laberia gada shapra norada ga.